As Mike comes forward, we continue in our series on the Psalms that we're doing throughout the summer. And again, as always, if you have a psalm that you really like or you want us to wrestle with, you can suggest it. And we just might be able to do that on a Sunday throughout the summer. So a big thank you to Mike as he reads to us in our psalm and our Old Testament selection today.
Well, as Monty said, we are going to read from the Psalms this morning. And for those who want to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's page 103.
It's Psalm 103. It's page 587.
587. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, so anyway, for the Psalm 103. Thanksgiving to God's goodness of David. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we have made how we were made. He remembers that we are due. As for mortals, their days are like grass. If they flourish like a like a flower of the field, and the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his workers, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then the next one is Genesis 12, 1 through 4, print page 11 in the Pew Bible. Okay, the call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I wonder if Abram had any gray hair yet.
This is the word of the Lord. I am a hot mess. How about you? Let me tell you how much of a hot mess I am. That is a statement, or it's a saying that we say these days. Instead of just saying I'm a mess or I am screwed up, a lot of times nowadays we say I am a hot mess. There are two times this week that I went into a store to buy things for church and my wallet was at home.
Oops.
There was one day where I realized my zipper was down at 2:00 in the afternoon. There was also another time this week where I went and tried to open my car and realized that it wasn't my car, but it looked like my car. I am a hot mess. Now, some of that's from being gone and good vacations and coming back, and there's a lot all of a sudden to do. Some of it's because Vacation Bible School is next week, and that's a lot to do. And some of it's just because I kind of am a hot mess in general. I'm not great with details. I'm good with the big picture, but details, sometimes, you know, it's just a little too much for me. Now, I don't think I'm the only one that's a hot mess, because today we live in a time that's a hot mess. In fact, a lot of times I think I am messed up and overwhelmed because of the upheaval around us. By cell phones that are everywhere, technology that makes everything possible, even when it's not actually good. You hear me rant all the time about Uber and Lyft, and that was a hot mess again this week where I almost hit people. It is a good thing that we have technology, but at the same time, it makes life less human. Again, studies came out this week saying more and more people are isolated and alone, that it is the major health concern in our country. Not cancer, not AIDS, not car accidents. Isolation. Even if you like a lot of people and follow a lot of people on Instagram. We are in a time of great upheaval. There are things changing. The marketplace is changing. Jobs, skills that are needed. Who can work, who can't. We hear that all the time, thinking about coal and oil and renewable energy, about climate change and what is happening. It was 107 degrees in Paris this week, 101 in London. It never is that hot in those places. It was 115 in one spot in France. Things are changing. We know it, but then we don't know what to do with it, or we might not want to do anything with it. There's a lot of upheaval. We live in a time in which the world is smaller and smaller, and we don't like it. It's hard to deal with the foreign when it is right in your face. So a lot of times we want to build walls to keep those scary things away from us, or we want to put things in cages that we can't control so that we can control so that we feel better. in this massive upheaval that's happening around our world. Our world is a hot mess. So what do we do? It's a hot mess whether you are a Democrat or Republican or Green or Communist, whatever you are. The world is a hot mess because we all have to wrestle with the questions of who am I? Who are we? What is life about in the midst of all of these changes? Is what life is about changing? Is what I'm about changing? And where is God in all of this? We all prefer comfort, what's known, what's habitual, what's familiar. We live in a time of constant change, is what we say. Constant change. Or I'd call it a hot mess. So what do we do? Can you be blessed in a hot mess? Now, the word blessed, we hear it in the psalm, and it's throughout the psalm. It's also throughout Genesis 12. And the word blessed in Hebrew is Barak. Not exactly Barack Obama. There's no C, but almost. Barak is the word in Arabic and in Hebrew. And it means to be blessed or to bless. And it is related to the action of bending down. Now, if you bend down to receive a gift, or you bend down before a sovereign, or you bend down before God, it is to recognize your relationship to that person and to receive a gift. But in the ancient times, they used camels. They didn't have Uber or Lyft. They had camels, if you were lucky. And to load a camel with whatever you may have, what did the camel have to do?
Bend down.
Bend down. And so if you were blessed, you needed a camel that would bend down, that you could place your things on. And so the notion of blessing comes from that action of bending down, to receive, to recognize. It is a relational stance. It's recognizing the gifts and the giver, and in a sense saying thank you. That is underneath all of the psalm. I believe it is 8 times that Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord. We see in Genesis 12 that Abraham and Sarah are chosen with or without gray hair at 75 years old. They have no children, but they got a lot of stuff and a lot of people, and they must have been good. And they are called to set out for a promised land that they don't know where it is, really. They are told that they will be given children as numerous as a nation, but they don't see them yet. And they leave, believing in the blessing of God. Being told that they will be blessed, not for them to have the blessing, but for them to pass it. Now, we say blessed in different ways. It's not a big word in our culture these days. But you know, the opposite, cursed, that seems to be a big word. At least I hear a lot of people cursing each other all the time. Cursed is saying not just bad about someone, but saying basically, you're dead to me. I wish you were dead to me. Blessed is the opposite. It's affirming life. It's affirming relationship. It's looking forward, not cutting back. The psalm is a poem, Psalm 103. If you look at it, it's all of these poetic expressions of how great God's love is. Mm-hmm. How big is God's love? It's so big that it's as far as the heavens are from the earth. How big is God's love? It's as big as the west is from the east. You can't really measure it. You can't even quite fathom it. But that's how big it is. The psalmist talks about that and then says, but we humans, we're like grass that grows and dies and blows away. But God, who's that big, still cares about us. How can that be? On a certain level, you could say that the psalmist is saying, we are hot messes, but God still cares about us. God still loves us and blesses us. So the only response to being blessed is to bend down and receive the blessing. And that is the essential foundation of Jewish and Christian faith, to bend down and accept the blessing. John Calvin says that faith basically is our gratitude. It's us saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. That we say that over and over in how we live, how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves, and how we serve God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, I tell you every week about the ways in which I curse other people. I'm probably one of the worst pastors. Most of my stories about how I almost kill people in our neighborhood with my car, or get mad at the Lyft and Uber drivers, getting upset. I'm a good example of what not to do. It is hard to bless other people, even though that's what I want to do, isn't it? It's hard, especially in the midst of the upheaval that in which we are. That's not just since 2016, but it is the age in which we live. It will not end in 2020. It will not end in 2024. We are in a time of great change. People talk about it as change that comes every 500 years or even 1,000 years. It's a lot of change. In all that change, who are we? How do we live? How do we treat each other? What is life about, and where is God in all of this? I believe that God's there. I don't know how it's working out. We don't have the answers yet. But it comes down to, do we choose to believe that God is present in the hot mess? That God is blessing us in the hot mess? Or do we choose to believe that God has checked out? I think we live in a time in which morality has become situational. Where you can do whatever you want with whoever you want because it depends on if you care about them or not. Or if they're like you or not. And if they're not, who cares? Get what you need. It's the opposite of what our psalm says. Our psalm is affirming that everything is a gift of God. That we are invited to pay for it in the way that God loves. That's how we are invited to love. Now, that's a hard thing to do. One of my hot mess days this week, I was trying to solve the problem of our bank accounts. We're trying to move our bank accounts from a hot mess bank to a bank that's not so much of a hot mess. It's better than the neighborhood. And I am getting the runaround with Marge on all these documents that we have to get. And I was told the church has to have a business license. And I said, churches don't have business licenses. And they said, it says so on the internet. Go get one. So I went to four offices the other day. And they all said, churches don't have businesses licenses. And I said, I know, but it says it on the internet. That's what the bank said. Sure enough, they looked and they said, it does say it on their internet, but their internet's not right. And while I was waiting at the last place that was supposedly the one with the answer down at Frankogawa Plaza, and I was thinking, oh, please let me get in before 4 o'clock and the office closes because I cannot spend another day like this. I heard the person in line in front of me who was opening a new business. And this new business is an internet business. And so I heard the person and the worker talking about a problem. It is an internet business, but you have to have a physical address for an internet business. But there is no physical address because it's on the internet. But you have to have a physical address in Oakland to have a business in Oakland. And I thought, oh dear Lord Jesus, have mercy, because that's not going to go well for me. So they're talking and talking, and they both got a little bit worked up, and then they got unworked. And then in the midst of all, they realized they'd gone to high school together in Berkeley.
Oops.
And then they realized they knew similar people. And then they finished up, and I guess they solved the problem. At some points, I was trying not to listen to everything, but I was like, this is the sermon right here. And they started talking about their kids and their grandkids and their family and their life. At that point, I'm like, oh, I'm sure she's going to still take me. She'll help me. She's so kind. And as they're talking, they finished up and they said, what you got to do? And the man who was leaving said to the woman who worked there, well, it was nice chatting with you. We sure are loved. And she said, no, we're not. We're blessed. And you know it.
Yes.
We are blessed. Because in their conversation, they both had said, God has given us all these things. Not luck. It's blessing. Now you might say, well, that's just words, but how do you look at it? How do you decide what it is? Are you blessed or is it luck? Have you earned it or is it gift? What do you do when you're not given what you need? Not just what you want, but when you need it. Housing. Health. What do we do with that? At the root of it, the psalm says that God blesses us.
Yes.
And that we are invited to respond in return.
Now, Monty, don't leave us hanging. Were you blessed?
I did not get an answer, but we're moving forward.
But you at least were able to talk to her.
I did talk to her. She was helpful. She said she'd come to the bank with me and tell them that it's not, the internet doesn't count. I don't know if that's going to help, but we'll see. It's hard to live rooted in blessing. In our culture, that is all about earning, and you get what you deserve, and that's as good as it gets. It's hard to be a blessing to others when we're told you have to fight for everything that you want, that you can treat people however you want to because it's about getting what you want, knowing that people are going to act and treat you that way. It is hard to love as God loves, to bless as God first blesses us. There is a resource in the back that I have, and we'll share it electronically too, but one of the ways in which to practice this is prayer. And that's what the Psalms are all about, but one of the prayers in which you can do this is called the Examen of Conscience. And what it is a prayer where you kind of go back through your day or through your week, and you sit with that. Some people do it at the end of the day. Some people do it at the beginning of the day. Some people do it at the end of the month, end of the week. But it is basically repassing that time through your mind's eye, looking for where you felt love, for where you felt grace, where you felt life come into you, where you felt blessed. Paying attention to that. Recognizing that that can only come from God. And the ancient way of praying that way leads us to develop a life of blessing. Because the more you start to recognize where you're blessed, even when you're a hot mess, the more you start to be able to pay that blessing for. To not return hate with hate. To not return a curse with a curse. But to do what Jesus says, to love your enemies and to love your neighbor. I find I am just such a hot mess all the time. Inside, filled with all these emotions. I'm raging with anger and frustration. We were on vacation, and at one point while we were touring a campus, a college campus, with Sophie, who's going to be a senior this year, I was overwhelmed. As much as I was irritated with what was happening because I was not controlling it, I was overwhelmed that here we have a daughter who's going to go to college, and I've done nothing to deserve it. I've done nothing to earn it. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I do, but I don't. And I can't be that old. And I was overwhelmed with blessing. That's all I could pay for. You have those moments too. I know you do. Whether it is when you see a friend or a family member, or when you see a beauty in the world or in another person, or when you are struck by a word from scripture or music, it is that sense of awe and blessing. And we are called not to be naive, foolish people. We're also called not to be hot messes, but to recognize that we are all hot messes. But we are called as followers of Jesus to look for how we are blessed and to pay it forward. For those that deserve it and those that don't, to pay it forward. I want to invite you to, if you want to try that prayer practice, you can do so. If you want to stick around after church, I can lead you in one of those meditations and we can try that. But it is never going to happen if we just think about it. Salvation is less a theological idea. It is more of a way of living. Amen. We're getting our musicians to come in. Then as we do that, we're going to be singing a song called 10,000 Reasons.